hospitality. You know, hospitality is a command that we've been given by God, and in Hebrews chapter 13 and in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're given a command to be hospitable. And so it's something that we need to be thinking about in our Christian walks. And so I just wanted to talk about this morning. You might be thinking, what is this Yankee going to teach us about hospitality? But I've actually been blessed in my life with some great examples of hospitality. In fact, I can't remember too many times when I was younger that my parents didn't have somebody living at their house that was not a member of our family. And so it just has got me thinking, and I just wanted to talk about this with everyone this morning. So hospitality. This morning we're going to be talking about what is hospitality. I think we all really know what it is. But we'll kind of review that. We'll talk about the importance of hospitality, the two sides of hospitality. Then we'll look at some excuses that we may have for a lack of hospitality. And we're going to look at Jesus and the perfect example that he gave us of hospitality despite his circumstances that he had. And then finally, we're going to have a self-assessment to kind of think about maybe how we can get better in showing hospitality to our brothers and to others. Okay, so hospitality, what is it? It's defined on dictionary.com as the friendly reception and or treatment of guests or strangers. And the Greek word for hospitality actually means lover of strangers. Okay, so what is a stranger? Well, it depends on what circumstance you're talking about. It just depends on what group. If we're talking about our country, then strangers are those that are not citizens of our country, those that are outside. If we're talking about this congregation, this church, then strangers are those who are not members of this church, who are visitors. And if we're talking about our family unit, then strangers of that unit would be anyone who's not a part of our family. Okay? So really, hospitality can apply to anyone depending on what situation and what groups we're talking about. Okay? Some examples of hospitality in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the churches of Macedonia were giving to other churches that had need, and they were showing hospitality to them. When we think about hospitality, I know we probably think about the Good Samaritan and the parable that Jesus gave us of someone that, regardless of race or socioeconomic or religious background, was willing to show hospitality to someone in the fullest extent, whatever they needed, to make sure that person was taken care of. And I will say, there's last night when I was going through this sermon, there's a little bit more on here than what I anticipated, so I'm kind of going through it a little bit faster. But I will encourage you to go to some of these verses and just make sure you know what I'm saying is accurate. And check up on me a little bit, but one thing about being a Yankee is I do know how to talk fast. So we'll go on. So hospitality is important. It's something that that the Bible talks about. In fact, if you will turn over with me to Matthew 25. Verse 31, Jesus is talking about the final judgment. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For what? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And so, what does he say to those on the left? He says, those are things that you didn't do to me. These exact same things. We could read the whole thing. But these things are something that you didn't do for me. And when they said to him, they said, when did we ever see you in this position and not do something about it? And in verse 45 it says, then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So at the final judgment, this is what we're going to be judged on. What God gave us, whether it's, you know, whether it's material possessions, whether it's sharing the gospel with others, what he gave us, did we share it with others? And that's what we're going to be judged on in the end. So it's very important that we think about how we can improve our hospitality, because it's what we're going to be judged on. In 1 John 3, if you'll turn over there, verse 16, it says, by this we know that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So, in order to have the love of God abide in us, in order to have a relationship with God, what God has given us, we've got to share. We've got to give to our brothers, or else, how can the love of God abide in us if we're not willing to do that? John 13:35 Jesus says to his disciples, "This is how the world is going to know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And how do we show our love for one another without hospitality? Yeah, I love him, but we've never eaten a meal together. Well, yeah, I love him, but he's never been over to my house. We've never really talked much, but yeah, I love him. How is the world going to know that we love each other unless we're doing this for one another, right? So it's something that's very important. There's two sides to hospitality. Obviously, there's the giving side. In order for hospitality to be shown, someone has to be willing to give of the means that God has given to them. And in Acts 20, verse 35, it says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, but in order for hospitality to be something that that works and is something that is done, there's got to be somebody that accepts it. And in order for us to give of our means, there must be someone to accept our generosity and attempts at hospitality. And you know, sometimes the accepting is the giving. Because, you know, there's sometimes when somebody asks us over or asks us out to lunch and we really don't want to go, you know. We don't need that, and so we really don't want to. But we've got to think of it, we've got to kind of flip it around and think about, you know what, my accepting of this person's hospitality is really my giving of hospitality. You know, I put on here, sometimes we need to be hospitable enough to grace someone with our presence, okay? My mom used to say this to me, you know, when I was with a friend, like playing a video game, and there was people over, and she'd say, Wes, are you going to grace us with your presence, you know? And sometimes we need to think about that. You know, sometimes we've got to be hospitable enough to allow that person to be in our company, okay? I just wanted to look at this to get a little bit of a perspective, because next we're going to talk about Jesus and his situation. But this is out of a Forbes article, and it shows, I think, is that a PowerPoint? Yeah, it shows the difference in the economic status of the United States here, okay? And then it shows some different countries and where they rank on the percentile of the world income distribution, okay? And so we see, even if you're in the bottom 5% of the United States wealth distribution, which I think almost all of us are probably in a higher category than that, okay? If you're in the bottom 5%, you're in the top 5% of the income in India. Okay, it says, notice how the entire line of the United States resides in the top portion of the graph. That's because the entire country is relatively rich. In fact, America's bottom ventile is still richer than most of the world. That is, the typical person in the bottom 5% of the American income distribution is still richer than 68% of the world's inhabitants. Okay, and we could talk about this on several different levels and what it means and everything. The point is, we've been blessed, and God has blessed this nation. We say that all the time. Okay, we know that. We know that we've been blessed, regardless of where we fall on this top 30%. Okay, God's blessed us, and so it's something that we need to be sharing. All right. So we look at Jesus, and I like to do this. I like to look at Jesus when we're thinking about anything that we can be good at or improve at as a Christian. Jesus was always better at it, right? Jesus is always the best, okay? So we're going to look at Jesus and how he was able to show hospitality. Do you realize Jesus came to this world and lived his ministry as a homeless person? He didn't really have anything. He was well out of the graph there, yet he was able to show hospitality in a way that no one else ever has or ever will. And so we want to look at Jesus. Jesus gave everything he had to others. He gave his time. He gave his material possessions. He gave everything that he had to others. In fact, he said in Matthew 20, Matthew 20, verse 26 through 28, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." That's why Jesus came to this world. He didn't come down as a king expecting everyone to serve him. He came down and lived the life of a homeless person, expecting that he was going to serve everyone else. Isn't that humbling? He had few material possessions and lived as a homeless man, but was able to show hospitality greater than we will ever be able to. So Jesus, there's a sense in which he was poor, he was homeless, yet he was able to show hospitality and give to others, be a slave to others. But there's also a sense in which he was the king of the universe. He didn't need anyone else's hospitality. Okay? If someone offered him something, he didn't need to accept that. He was the king of the universe. Yet, continually, he accepted the invitation and the hospitality that others were willing to provide to him. He continually ate with tax collectors and sinners. Did he want to do that? Yeah, he wanted to do that. But, you know, was it something that was the most comfortable situation that he wanted to do for his comfort? No. He did it because he was allowing them to show hospitality to him, and he wanted to get to know them. And he was willing to truly grace someone with his presence. Luke chapter 19, we think about Zacchaeus. You know, we all know this story. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And when Jesus gets to him, what does he say? Do you want to come over to where we're at? No, he says, I'm going to come to your house. You think Zacchaeus wanted Jesus to come over? He did. He wanted Jesus to come over to his house, and Jesus was willing to do that. He knew that, and he was willing to accept that invitation from Zacchaeus. He was willing to grace Zacchaeus with his presence. So we're going to look at some common excuses that we might have, that we've all probably used some of these, for a lack of hospitality, and then we're going to look at the example of Jesus and how he responded to that, and what he did when he was faced with those situations. So we don't know each other well enough, okay? I don't really want to, you know, invite somebody over to my house that I don't even know. I'm not going to have somebody stay with me that I've never even met, be around my kids. I don't even know them, okay? Somebody invited me over to their house. I don't really know them that well. It's not going to be a comfortable situation for me, so I don't really want to go. We just talked about Jesus ate with the tax in Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Do you think he knew all those people? He was willing to get to know them. He was willing to sit down and have a meal with them so that he could get to know them, but he didn't know them. Jesus didn't care if he knew the person. He wanted to be hospitable, to accept the hospitality of others, regardless of whether he knew them or not. I'm too busy. Okay? One reason why I believe that the U.S. is in that upper tier of income is because we work really hard. We do. And we're busy. We've got jobs. We've got kids. We've got busy schedules. And so finding time for hospitality is sometimes very difficult for us. Do you think Jesus was busy? You know, think about the task that he was given by the Father and how much time he had to fulfill that. Do you think that weighed on him a little bit? It did. It weighed on him. And he was a very, very busy person, probably the most busy homeless person you would ever meet. And I wanted to point out this story. In Mark chapter 5, if you want to turn over there and look at that, you can. Jesus heals a woman with a flow of blood. And if we remember this story, Jesus was on the way to somewhere else. In fact, an official had come to him and said, "My daughter is dying. I need your help. Come and heal her." And so he was on the way to do this. He had people thronging around him, and a woman who was probably deemed by her community as unclean, and a lowly woman, came and touched the hem of his garment so that she might be cleansed of her ailment. And I wonder what happens next when Jesus says, "Who touched me? You know, I felt power go out of me. Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "What are you talking about? There's people all around. That you're getting touched by all kinds of people." You know, maybe if I was in that situation, I would have just kind of went along my way and just thought, "Well, you know, I'm happy that I was able to heal her, and she's healed. She got what she came for." You know, did Jesus not know what he was doing there? He knew, but he wanted to stop and to take the time to know, to show this person, this great woman of faith, that he spent time for her and that he had time for her. And that's why he stopped and talked with her. He was busy. He had lots to do, but he made time for hospitality, and he made time to show kindness to strangers. It's a hassle. You know, when people come over, it's really not just that. You know, it's everything afterwards. You've got to clean everything up. You know, if you've got somebody staying with you, you've got to have the kids get readjusted to everything. Sometimes it's a multi-day commitment. And it's kind of a hassle to do. If we think about Mark chapter 2, when Jesus heals the paralytic, if you'll remember, he was in this house and there were so many people in the house that nobody could get in. And a paralytic was being carried by four of his friends, and they just had to get in to see Jesus. They had to get their friend healed. And so what do? They go up on the top of the roof, and they start pulling the roof up so that they can let their friend down so that Jesus can heal them. And the first thing Jesus says is, "Hey, what are you doing to this roof? This has got to be fixed," right? He doesn't say anything about that. You know, I feel like that's what I would have said. What are you doing? Just wait. I got to leave at some point, right? But Jesus isn't worried about the mess. He isn't worried about the roof being torn up. He's worried about the faith that these men had to do that and impacting their lives and showing them the hospitality of healing and of forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't care about the hassle. He just cared about the people. I don't have the right setup, okay? I've heard this before, and it's probably been something that I thought before. You know, I don't really have the biggest place. It's not good for entertaining, okay? I don't have the right setup. I don't have the right means. I mean, we've already talked about what tier we're in as God has blessed us. But still, you know, we think about this sometimes. I think about when we think about the Last Supper. And oh, there we go. Let's go back. And we think about who hosted the Last Supper. I kind of think about, we don't really know whose house it was, but I think of the host of the Last Supper as Jesus. He was the one who organized it. He was the one who kind of arranged everything. And maybe we kind of think of that as a miracle. You know, go and there's going to be this guy, and it's kind of a mystical thing. But I think that Jesus set that up beforehand. And that he had it ready. He was a homeless person. He didn't have a home to bring anyone to. But that wasn't an excuse for him to not show hospitality to others. He still found a way. I don't have enough money. You know, Jesus didn't have any money. Fed thousands of people multiple times. And you say, well, yeah, I mean, he had the power of duplication, you know. But I think if we think that, we're really missing the point of the story, right? Jesus, what happens? The disciples say, what are we going to do? Are we going to send these people out? Or, you know, what should we do? This? So he says, you feed them. You feed them. And they're like, well, we don't have any money. And Jesus says to them, basically, you're missing the whole point. You don't know that I've got the power to feed all these people? Does Jesus still have that power? Does Jesus still have the ability that if we want to show hospitality to someone that he's going to provide? Of course he does. It's awkward. It's awkward to you know, talk to people that we don't like. It's awkward to hang around with people that we don't know. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Do you think that was awkward? It was awkward. Based on their response, it was pretty awkward. But he was trying to make a point. He was trying to show what hospitality and true servanthood was. And he wasn't afraid of it being awkward. We have a history. This is one that pains me the most, to think that, you know, there might even be people in this congregation that are unwilling to show hospitality or even maybe even speak to one another because of the history that they've had or something that's been said. After Jesus was crucified and abandoned by his disciples, denied by Peter, the next place we find Jesus in John chapter 21 is he's cooking them breakfast. He didn't care about the past. He didn't care about what had been done. Sorry. He only cared that Peter, he only wanted Peter to tell him that he loved him. Plan to do it in the future. I had when Sarah and I were going through marriage counseling, or, you know, through the church that we were members of, he was teaching a big group, and he said, you know, it was a bunch of people about to get married, and he said, you know, doesn't matter what your situation is. I don't care if you're living in a studio apartment. Have people over. Because if you don't do it now, if you don't establish that trend of hospitality now, then you're not going to. okay? We've always got a plan that we will, when we get something bigger and better, and we've got a better whatever, that we'll show more hospitality. But things come up, and if we don't establish the pattern, we won't do it. Okay, so real quick, before we end, I'd like to just do a quick self-assessment to think about, and it's not something that's supposed to be a guilty thing by any means. It's just to think about how we can become better at this as Christians, okay? Last time someone at church asked me over or invited me to something, what did I say? When's the last time I've shown direct hospitality to a stranger or a brother in Christ? I hope it was this week. Are there people in this congregation who, for whatever reason, I haven't talked to? Let's make that change, okay? Let's show hospitality because it's important. It's something that we're going to be judged on. You know, the greatest thing about about Christ and his ultimate display of hospitality is that he came down to this world from heaven, died for our sins, just so that he could invite us to his home. John 14, 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I am going. When we get to heaven, we're not all going to be living separately. There's one house, and it's God's house, and we're all invited. And Jesus came and died for our sins so that we could go to this house. That's what Jesus was willing to do. So let's think about these things. Let's think about how we can be better showing hospitality to each other, to the strangers, to the visitors of this congregation, and let's try to get better at this as Christians. Thank you for the time that you've allowed me to speak, and I'll say a quick prayer here, and then we'll be dismissed to our Bible classes. Dear God, we